This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have Livid in the kitchen cooking up a detox cabbage soup and a wonderful musical composition by Hope Harmonies.
John Bradshaw will have the devotional thought for us, the parenting places back with parenting tips, and so much more.
You are sure to be blessed, so don't miss it.
Good morning and happy Wednesday, and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. I'm so thankful that we made it to the middle of the week and Friday is quickly approaching.
We sure did. We are here and it's a new morning, a brand new day to newly experience the love and joy of Jesus.
And it's the end of the month. It's May.
Wow.
It's the end of May and it's the last day of May. It means that summer is just around the corner and we're celebrating it as National Flip-Flop Day.
Ooh, I love flip-flops.
Oh, I love it too.
Yes.
I lived in the Philippines and that's all we wore all year round.
Oh, I wouldn't mind that.
Yes. So friends, bring out the flip-flops and celebrate beach season as it's just around the corner.
That's right. And also today is National Smile Day. So share a smile with those around you and make someone's day as you spread a little love.
That's right. Well, it's time to kick off our blessings-packed program for the day. Let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1859, the famous tower clock known as Big Ben, located at the top of 320-foot-high Elizabeth Tower, rang out over the Houses of Parliament in Westminster, London for the first time. After a fire destroyed much of the Palace of Westminster, the headquarters of the British Parliament, in October of 1834, a standout feature of the design for the new palace was a large clock atop a tower. The Royal Astronomer Sir George Airy wanted the clock to have pinpoint accuracy, including twice-a-day checks with the Royal Greenwich Observatory. While many clockmakers dismissed this goal as impossible, Airy counted on the help of Edmund Beckett Denison, a formidable barrister known for his expertise in horology, or the science of measuring time. Even after an incendiary bomb destroyed the chamber of the House of Commons during the Second World War, Elizabeth Tower survived and Big Ben continued to function. Its famously accurate timekeeping is regulated by a stack of coins placed on the clock's huge pendulum, ensuring a steady movement of the clock hands at all times.
You know, friend, the impossible became the possible with the right help from an expert. The same can be in our own lives. God calls us to believe in Him and to be victors and soldiers in the battle against sin. On our own, it is impossible. We are powerless against the foe. But when we call on Jesus, when we are consistent and steady in our walk with Him, we can truly live a life of peace, joy, and love, no matter the circumstances and the difficulties that assail us. So friends, call on Him today. Don't live another moment without His divine help.
Friends, did you know if you want to detox your body, you don't have to stop eating? Actually, there are certain foods that will naturally help your body detox. This morning, Livid is back in the kitchen and showing us how to make a detox cabbage soup.
Here is a simple and hearty soup. It's delicious, simple, easy to make, and full of vitamins and minerals. Be sure to remove the tough center of the cabbage. It takes a long time to cook, and it isn't very appetizing in the end anyway. Filled with nutrient-dense veggies and easy to digest, this soup is easy on your digestive system. This gives your body the extra energy and time to focus on eliminating built-up toxins from the system. In addition, it's full of fiber, both soluble and insoluble, promoting the elimination of toxins and a healthy gut flora. So the next time you need a detox, avoid those harsh, extreme, unbalanced detoxes and grab a bowl of nutrient-dense soup to treat your body to a balanced and healthy detox.
Up next, we have another Masterstroke segment. Enjoy.
Have you ever received a love letter? I don't mean an email or a Facebook message. I mean a real one. A letter handwritten and posted or hand-delivered. In 1808, Willem Bartel van der Kooi won 2,000 guilders from the Dutch art school for his painting A Lady with a Footman Handing a Letter. Now, that's not a very romantic title, is it? If you visit the Rijksmuseum today, you'll see this painting with the title The Love Letter. In this painting, we see a messenger delivering the letter. The seal is on the back and it's yet to be opened. Anticipation and tension is in the air. Who's this letter from? What will it say? Her heart begins to flutter. All eyes are on this letter as it's handed over to the young lady.
Far away, find us in the future.
So, how do you write a love letter? We're told to choose nice paper. Begin with something romantic. Tell the person what you love about them and write about the future you have together. I believe the greatest love letter is the Bible. And it's a pretty long letter. In fact, it's many letters written over thousands of years. Here we find God telling us how much He loves us, sharing the hopes of a wonderful future. He woos us to come to Him in a love response. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. The Bible says God is love. The next time you're feeling a bit down, a bit discouraged, feeling like no one really cares, read the Bible. The Bible is God's love letter to you. A love letter you can read every day.
Are you enjoying today's program? Don't forget to share with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us.
We'll be right back with more, friends.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. You know, we believe our program will fill your day with happiness and love.
It's now time for music as Hope Harmony sings the song, Rise Up.
Moonlight spins in the silence.
You know, we all live with lots of different personalities, both at home and in our workplaces. And it's an interesting activity to step back and think about the personalities you have in your own family and how they sometimes affect the way we act with each other. Well, The Parenting Place has some interesting insights today on how to navigate through this.
Okay, guys, I've got the printouts for your personality tests. Oh, good. Is that mine? Look, I'm sorry. It says you don't actually have a personality. Give me that. Where is it? No, it doesn't. It says I'm details focused, serious, structured, and methodical. Yeah, like I said, no personality. He's got plenty of personality. He's just a little quieter than others. You know what? I wish you were a bit quieter. Jabber, jabber, jabber all the time. Let me see that stupid test. Oh, well, they got that right. It says here, I'm the boss and I should control the rest of you because my ideas are the best ideas. Does not. Hang on, guys. Peace. Come with us. Okay. Firm, enterprising, competitive. A problem solver? It doesn't actually say that you should be the boss. That's what it means, though. Confident, goal-driven, decision-maker, perfect boss characteristics. Yeah, characteristics for a dictator and a bully. Guys, settle down. Now, playful, what did you say? Well, no surprises there. Apparently I'm brilliant. Let's have a look. Enthusiastic, takes risks. Visionary, that's you. Motivator, energetic, very verbal.
That's you.
Creative, fun-loving. Loudmouth, goofball, and a show-off that is basically unemployable. And that's why I love working in this office. Because of our high productivity, efficiency, and excellent IT support? No. It's because of the wonderful bouquet of characters I get to work with. You, with all your precision and the way you like to know things. But he's always just so slow. He's always preparing, starting, then restarting. Stop, I just like to know that things are done properly. And you, with all your fun, you really brighten up the place. You brighten up the place, sir, when you leave. It's not just that. The ideas you have. You're just brilliant. You keep this place going. Really? This guy? He has a 10-second brain flash followed by a 2-hour lunch. Now, if I didn't actually get things done around here, oh, and yes, you're great at getting the practical side sorted and getting this place working. See, I'm just amazed at how different we are. But it works. Look, just make sure you don't quit or we'll probably kill each other. Okay, guys, who's down for 10 minutes of mindfulness? Hey?
Are you enjoying today's program? Don't forget to share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us there.
We have to pause now for a quick break, but after the break, we're going to have today's devotional thought by Pastor John Bradshaw.
Welcome back, friends.
John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us here today to share a devotional thought.
Hey there, I hope your day has started great or is starting great. I'm John Bradshaw from It Is Written. Really good to be able to see you today and share with you a little bit. There's a town in the United Kingdom called Olney, O-L-N-E-Y. It's in Buckinghamshire. And if you were in central London, you'd be about 85 miles away from Olney. What makes Olney special? Well, if I told you that, I'd have nothing else to tell you. So hang on a minute. It's about 10 miles from Milton Keynes and about 10 miles from Bedford. Now, what makes Bedford special is the fact that John Bunyan wrote the Pilgrim's Progress book in Bedford while a lot of the time he was in the Bedford jail. So that's Bedford, but 10 miles away is Olney. It's a village, about 6,000 people, so it's not a teeny tiny village. It's a lovely place. I've been there. What took me to Olney? Well, Olney is where John Newton wrote the song, Amazing Grace. Wow, it's more than a song, isn't it? It's probably the best known and most loved hymn in all of Christendom. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. John Newton, who became an Anglican minister. John Newton. But wait a moment. John Newton. John Newton used to spend time sailing on slave trading vessels, traveling down to Africa. Those vessels would bring Africans back to be enlisted. Enlisted is not the right word, to be forced into slavery. Then Newton commanded his own slaving vessel. Have mercy. But you know what happened? John Newton met Jesus. It was just as well he did. John Newton was famous before meeting Jesus for his profanity. It has been said that John Newton could swear continually for 30 minutes without repeating himself. Not know how that's possible or what that would even sound like. Surely that's hyperbole. Let's hope that it is. But the fact of the matter is the man could swear like a sailor because, of course, he was a sailor. And he could turn the air blue just like that with his cursings and so on. That John Newton. If you go to Olney, there is a church there now called St. Peter and St. Paul Church. And I can see it in my mind's eye, right around there, back corner of the cemetery. There's a prominent, but not at all ostentatious, gravestone, grave marker. That's where John Newton was laid to rest. That's where he waits for the resurrection. Get over there and there's a little plaque on there. There's an inscription, as you'd expect. It's nothing grandiose. I've seen Karl Marx's tomb in Highgate Cemetery in North London. Ooh, that's an imposing looking edifice. This is a grave out of which someone's going to come. John Newton one day in Olney in Buckinghamshire in England, 83 miles northwest of London. But herein is a marvelous thing. John Newton, by his own admission in the song, was a wretch. He was lost. His swearing was legendary. And I don't say that in a positive way. This man was a sinner. But here's what happened. The lost man was found. He met Jesus, and Jesus changed his heart. John Newton teamed up with William Wilberforce, the Member of Parliament in Britain, the famous anti-slavery campaigner, and they together campaigned to see that slavery would be abolished, outlawed throughout the entire British Empire. And it was. The very year that John Newton died, slavery became illegal throughout the Commonwealth of British countries, or throughout the British Empire, let's put it that way. I guess none of them were independent at that time. Newton changed. You know, there's evidence that if Newton could change, anybody could change, because God did a great and a thorough work. From being someone who had turned the air blue with his dirty language, he began to teach and preach the Word of God. And he wrote that beautiful song, Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. I mean, what a beautiful, beautiful song. Newton was a wretch of a human being. And grace my fears relieved. I paused there, didn't I? This was a man who met Jesus, and the grace of God flooded into his heart, changed his life. Can that type of person change? Yes. You've got a family member. That person could never change. Hold up. Yes, that person can change. Grace can change a human heart. Let me read to you from the book of Ezekiel. Now, you think of Ezekiel and you thumb through Ezekiel. It's, wow, word, that can be some tough sledding. These heavy prophecies, some of those things that don't look so straightforward. Hold on a moment. The book of Ezekiel is sublime. It's beautiful. It's brilliant. It oozes the grace and the salvation of heaven. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. Here is where God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. God says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Notice what God says. He said, I will do this. This is the work that heaven does. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. That's what God did with John Newton. I expect that if you had met John Newton before his conversion, you would have wanted to stay away from him. He would have had a bad reputation. He was involved in extraordinarily unsavory things. He sounded like someone who couldn't possibly be saved and was so comfortable being lost that there was no hope for him. But saved he was. To become a full-time minister of the gospel, a campaigner against slavery, he wrote that beautiful song, whenever you hear or think of or sing Amazing Grace, you can say, yeah, grace is amazing. The author of this song was truly a wretch, absolutely a sinner, and God changed his heart. Do you know somebody like that? My guess is that you probably do. Do you interact with somebody like that? Their language is awful. Their habits are bad. They give no evidence that they've any interest at all in the things of heaven. I was speaking to a family member recently. This really surprised me. We were speaking about another family member. I should be careful here. And this family member's name came up. Now, the last time I saw this other younger family member, not a good life, not a good life. And my sister said, this individual is going to church. I said, wait a minute, never been any kind of Christian, right? No, but someone extended an invitation. Now they're attending church. Life has changed. I was shocked. But you know what? I shouldn't be. I guess I was thrilled. I was surprised. God certainly answers prayer. The grace of God is working in human lives. And if John Newton can change it, if my family member, who certainly was not a John Newton, but was far from God, can come to faith in Jesus, you can be encouraged today that your parent, your child, your sibling, your cousin, your co-worker, your neighbor can certainly come to faith in Jesus. So pray for the salvation of others. Be willing to be used by God to shine light into somebody's heart and on their pathway. And never give up hope in the awesome power of God's amazing grace. Have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor John, for those encouraging words.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up With Hope and spending your morning with us. We enjoyed our time together.
Don't forget, we'll be right here waiting for you tomorrow morning. We'll be featuring an important segment on life jackets, and Faith for Today will join us to share a devotional thought. Plus, we'll have a wonderful musical blessing for you, so don't miss it.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study. We are sure our free Bible studies will be such a blessing to you.
And friends, like always, we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise. And in today's promise is found in John chapter 1, verse 12.
It says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God.
Amen. You know, friend, if we believe in Jesus and accept him, we become children of God. You know, we have access to every privilege and every reward his children are entitled to. So we invite you today, friends, to commit or recommit your life to him and take hold of this precious promise that you are truly God's child.
Amen. Children of God, we pray that you will have a wonderful Wednesday. Stay happy and blessed.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, how good it is to call you our Father. So Father, would you lift us up right now and hold us close to you? We're your children. We know we're loved. And we pray, Lord, that you would remain by our side throughout this day. We know you will because you have promised and you're faithful. Keep us willing to stay close to your side. And we thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.